to speak with Sharon or our guest. The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Doom, doo, 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 doom, doom, doo, doo,
this goes
doom,
out to our girl,
doom, doo,
Sharon
doom,
Kay.
Doom,
hey.
Doom, doom, doom,
it's a little
doom,
freestyle, y'all.
Doo, doo,
hey.
Happy birthday, Sharon.
You know, I get a chuck at these ages because my daughter's 54.
You, oh, well, I guess you're
10 years older than my daughter.
Well, I guess you can laugh then. You like, y'all got plenty of time to go. I mean, you know.
And I appreciate your time. I like people who are on time. You call me right at 1:30. I appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely.
Very important to respect time.
Absolutely. I respect you, sir. So
well,
there.
Thank you. Thank
yes,
you
sir.
Very much.
You have made my day by wishing me happy birthday and
well,
getting a chance to interview
told,
you on. Huh?
I had a call from Netherlands. Mm-hmm. I said, I don't think I'm getting this mixed up. I think this is her birthday. The lady that's calling me today.
Yes, it is.
Fisk University.
Yes,
I said,
sir.
This is her birthday. I'm just going to say birthday right or wrong. I was correct, right?
That's correct. It is absolutely correct. And I thank you for that because, you know, it means a lot coming from you. Everybody can't say them. Jamal wished them happy birthday, okay?
Oh, well, I wish you many more.
Thank
and,
you.
Hope you have a wonderful day today.
Yes, sir. I have been. And long time ago, maybe about 5 or 6, 7 years ago, I interviewed Dick Gregory for the 4th or 5th time. And he said, Sharon, don't you forget that you are a unique person. And I was like, for real? You know, because I'm just, you know, I'm enthralled in what he's saying. And he said, the universe is, you've left your footprint in the universe. And I never thought of myself as that. So, you know, between you and him, I'm feeling mighty good right now, okay?
Just well, I have a picture of a photograph I took with Dick some years ago mm-hmm. with, the one of the few owners of a basketball team, African American. I took that picture with him, and I look at it every day. Mm. Dick made his transition. Has made his transition.
Yeah.
But I have a picture of him every day. So,
wow.
You know, people still live on after they leave this world.
They do. They do. But they do live an leave an impression inside of you. You know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that is what having that photo. See, I didn't know that, and now I've learned something new today because I just don't know what made me say that. But yes,
yeah,
I do
I have
know.
A picture of Dick and the only African American to own a basketball team. I can't think of his name
I
now
can't
because
either.
We shared that relationship, Dick. Uh-huh. And him and myself took that picture. It's on one of my tables in my dining room.
Well, I
so
bet
it's
you.
It's a small world after all.
It really totally is. And that's why, you know, treating each other decently, there's nothing wrong with that. Ahmad Jamal, there's not even words. I cannot begin to, you know, in the jazz realm, there's just like, there's no words. So because this man has achieved everything and there are no words, I just want you to know that we are tickled to death to have you come to Nashville. And,
well, interesting. I've been all over the world. I haven't been everywhere, but I've been a lot of places.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Sudan in 1959. I was just a kid. I was in Egypt. And I don't know why I haven't ever been to Nashville.
Oh, Lord. This is going to be...
That's very strange.
That is strange.
The Grand Ole Opry and all that stuff down there.
Yeah.
I can't. It's Fisk University, also, right?
Yes, sir. 1866.
I just. It's interesting that I've never been to Nashville.
That is. Well, we're
so
happy.
We have two or three people.
Oh, wait.
Coming
at
Sherman.
Yes, sir.
Concert, because I haven't ever been there.
Oh, Lord. No, they're going to pack the house for you, honey. It's.
Well, I hope so.
Oh, definitely. And
I have to find out what the Black and White Keys do, if that's the case. I'm still trying to discover after all these years. What do they do? Because you're never finished in this world.
Oh,
I
no.
started playing at 3 years old.
Wow.
86 years ago.
Mm.
My mother's piano, I walked by, and my uncle said, I bet you can't do this. He was playing a song. I sat and played every note at 3 years old. He was playing, and they fainted. And that's been history ever since.
Mm.
So I'm still trying to find out what the Black and White Keys do.
Well,
after all these years, 86 years at the piano.
Wow. 86 years. See, y'all.
Interesting. Very interesting event, eventful life.
No question.
That's taken me all over the world. I just turned down a, I couldn't, because I'm semi-retired for the most part. I don't like to travel anymore. I turned down my home city. They've been trying to get me to get an award there for the last 2 years, and I had to turn them down again because I don't like to travel anymore.
Mm. Well, how did we get so lucky to have you come to Nashville?
Well, you know something? I took a few engagements this year. I took an engagement in Paris at Louis Vuitton, and I left on the 29th of June, didn't come back till August.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my daughter and I went to Normandy for vacation, so I spent about 3 weeks there. So I take some special engagements if I'm up to it. So yours is special. You're special people.
Wow.
That's why I took it.
No question. Well, I'm glad. I'm tickled to death. It's Friday, October 18th. And that's next Friday, not this one, but next Friday at the Scrimmerhorn Symphony
Center.
That's
correct. I have it down on my calendar, Nashville, Tennessee. I have it written in, leaving my airport in Connecticut on Thursday the 17th. So I expect to have a wonderful time and enjoy myself. That's the main thing.
Absolutely.
To enjoy, and maybe you get one or two other people that will enjoy it. So I hope we have some others that will enjoy our presence there.
Oh, are you kidding? I mean, because all the jazz heads of Nashville, everybody who's anybody, should definitely have already probably have heard about it, but be in the place, facing the place, to have you for your first time here? Oh, there's not even words. There's not words. And, you know, having someone at your caliber 7 decades into this and being reaching the higher heights of jazz helps this city, because the first thing you asked about was country. But we have a strong, you know, this is Nashville's jazz station, 46 years on the air. And
wow.
Yeah, definitely. So
that's terrific.
We feel blessed to still be
not
standing.
Not quite my age, but you get
no,
there.
No, sir. About half of it, really. But the facts are is that, you know, if we can keep attracting the creme de la creme with good sponsors, amen, then the job can get done. But, I mean, your first trip here, this is just beautiful. I love
it. Well, it's very interesting to me because I just wonder all the places that my agents have booked me, and I've accepted. I've never been to Nashville. That's very strange.
I wonder.
So this is the first for me. I don't remember going to Nashville. Do you have any recall of our being in Nashville?
No, I haven't recall anybody saying you have been here either.
I asked someone else. I did an interview with someone, and they're in Nashville, and we discussed the same thing.
Mm.
But anyway, I'm coming there, God willing.
Yes, definitely.
I expect to have a wonderful time.
You will, and rightly so. And, you know, we're just going to be in heaven watching you do the things you do, and, you know, you just do it so well.
Well, we opened the San Francisco Festival. I don't know if my office sent you anything on that. Don't pay attention. That's my weapon of mass destruction ringing my cell phone. All these distractions, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Some of the good, some of the bad, you know, but I forget what I was going to say. Anyway, I was talking to one of your people from Nashville, and again, I was surprised because we agree. I've never been there.
Well, I am grateful to the sponsor because I know the sponsor of this particular series is the reason why you're coming. And knowing that nothing gets done without a sponsor, whoever, I mean, I know who they are and, you know, they spent money for, to get you. Thank you. Thank you, sponsor. Because that's the reason why this is happening. And, Ahmad, you have... you know, and before I was to talk with you, I was like, oh, Lord, do I call him Mr. Jamal? Do I say Ahmad like I've been knowing
whatever
him forever?
You want. Whatever is comfortable for you.
Okay, well, I'm going to call you Ahmad. And
whatever is comfortable,
yeah,
makes you comfortable.
Oh,
that's what you say.
You. Thank you. And I didn't want you to think I was not being respectful of you and what you have accomplished, but I'm just like, I feel like I know you. Does that make sense?
I hope so. I hope you feel like you know me.
Well, with all the years of music.
Because that's the biggest, that's one of the best compliments you can give. Because, you know, this is a global village we live in, Sharon.
Yes.
And what happens in Nashville affects the whole world. What happens in France affects mm-hmm. Nashville. What happens in California affects where I live, in New England. So we have to learn how to respect our social structure and
yes.
the fact that we are living in a global village. It's not, you know, you get the plane, you're in Japan in a few hours.
Yeah, definitely.
And in Australia a few hours.
Definitely.
So we have to behave ourselves and respect the fact that we've been able to come this far and we're blowing it in a lot of sense because... Mm-hmm. A lot of sections of the world are in chaos, including mm-hmm. the United States.
Mm-hmm.
We got chaos here
mm-hmm.
right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know it, I know it.
Oh, yes.
And
oh,
sometimes
yes.
I don't even want to look at the news.
I know, honey. I know.
So when you say it feels like you've known me, I mean, that's appreciated.
Yeah.
Well, that's where it's supposed to be. I'm going to cut this phone off. I don't want it to keep ringing
yeah.
and interrupting our very valuable and important conversation.
That's right.
I cut
that's
it
right.
off. I mean... The thing is, I don't like to multitask.
Yeah, dig it.
And the thing is, hold it. Can you wait? No.
No, go ahead because
what happens is very rude.
Yeah, it is.
You can't finish the conversation you're in, and you can't begin accurately the conversation that somebody wants to engage you in
right.
by calling.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So I don't multitask like a lot of people. I can't do it. And today, people walking across the street, not paying to the light, they look at the phone. The kids don't have any conversation. They don't
no.
want to come to dinner anymore.
No.
They're upstairs looking at the phone.
Right, right.
Texting, mm. and it goes on. Anyway, I cut mine off.
Good for you. Well, and you know, we have to do the same thing in this studio here. If I didn't take it off the hook before I talked to you, because it would straight be ringing in the background. And
that's right.
Yeah,
I'm sorry if this.
Don't worry about it.
This in the background, but
no, that's
I,
all right.
Hadn't turned it off.
No, you're
so,
good. You're good.
You know, you learn every day.
Yeah.
In the future, if I do any more interviews, I'm gonna cut this iPhone off
well,
or don't have it in the room with me.
I just.
It disturbs me.
Yeah.
It disturbs me.
I know it does. And Ahmad, to me, it's just a sound effect. You know, that's all. Because somebody somewhere is going to pick up their phone and answer it. They're going to hear that and say, oh, there go my phone. No, it wasn't yours. It was somebody else's.
So, I cut it off. My apologies. I hope your interview didn't pick up those rings.
Oh, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry.
It's quite possible. When
yeah.
I have interviews here.
Uh-huh.
At home, which are very rare, but they do come and interview me in my home because I'm not able to I can't accommodate sometimes going out to New York.
Oh,
going,
sure.
No.
Yeah.
I lived in New York for years and years and don't like to go unless I have to. I got grandkids that live there.
Oh,
my
yeah.
daughter lives there.
Yeah.
But I avoid going out so people come here and do interviews.
Oh,
and
yeah.
One thing they make sure, the phones are off.
Yeah. Well, speaking of grandkids, how many do you have?
I have two.
Okay.
One's going to be 19 in a few days. Got installed in Cornell in Ithaca, New York.
Oh, that's
Cornell
beautiful.
Cornell University.
Wow.
And he's studying computer science.
Uh-huh.
That's what he wants to get involved in this stuff, too. So,
yeah.
C'est la vie.
Yeah. Well, so are any of them musically inclined, Ahmad? Your kids are...
No, my grandson is an excellent soccer player.
Uh-huh.
But my daughter couldn't convince them to stay with their music. They have been exposed to instruments, but they've lost interest in that. My daughter could have been a great cellist, but uh-huh. She chose medicine instead because she wasn't encouraged by her father.
Okay. Well, you...
she left the cello and went into medicine.
Yeah. Well, at least they can look out for after you and stuff.
Yeah. So,
you know, definitely.
No, they're not, but the members of my siblings, which they're all gone now,
uh-huh.
They could all have been musicians, every uh-huh. one of my siblings.
So somebody like, since you were a child prodigy, who was it? One of your parents or grandparents? That was musically inclined, or the Lord just decided to give it to you? Well, how do you think? What do you think?
My mother had intended to study music,
mm-hmm.
and I just discovered that later on,
mm-hmm.
and she had this upright piano in our living room.
Mm-hmm.
But when we came along, that took her pursuit of music away. She had no time in doing domestic work and mm-hmm. having to take care of us. She had no time to study piano. So what I did, as I said, I sat down one day, the rest is history, on her piano that she had intended to use to study. I'm the one that ended up on that piano.
Mm.
So I don't know of anyone in our family on my side that was involved in music.
Mm.
But all my brother, my sisters, they could have been musicians.
Mm.
All were musically inclined, but
mm-hmm.
they didn't choose to jump over that broom. I did.
Sure.
I left home when I was 17.
Wow, wow.
With a big band in Atlantic City,
uh-huh.
George Hudson.
Huh.
And I ended up in New York 1948,
uh-huh.
18 years old at the Paul Theater. Down in Washington on that bill.
Mm.
You don't remember a group called the Ravens. They had one of the biggest records in the country, mm. Old Man River.
Mm-hmm.
And
I remember
down, of course, was always popular.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were touring with them.
Yeah.
And that was quite an experience for a 17, 18-year-old kid.
Oh,
I left
yeah.
home when I was 17.
Definitely.
Which was too young, in my opinion, but that's the way it is. Creator intended that way, so I have to accept that as a blessing.
Yeah, yeah. But you learned a lot, didn't you?
I got my PhD in the street. Juilliard University I intended to go to, never got there. So I'm like Harold Mayburn, that just passed, a great pianist and friend that just passed a few days ago, a couple weeks ago. He also, he ended up teaching in one of our universities up here, but he said he got his PhD from the street, and I was given a honorary doctorate at New England Conservatory a couple years ago, and I accepted it, so... It's Dr. Jamal, they call me.
Oh, go ahead on. Yeah. Well, I'm surprised you hadn't gotten something before that, 7 decades in.
Well, I've got many awards. I've got awards from the Minister of Culture in France, and I've got 70 or 80 different awards from cities and countries and Malaysia. So.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I just turned down an award for my own home city.
Wow!
So, I've gotten my share of awards.
Yes, you
by
have.
By the grace of God.
Yes, you have. But I mean, Dr. Ahmad, see.
The New England Conservatory took care of that.
Yes,
so I have
yes.
a doctorate as well.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And since you have, got your knowledge and stuff in the School of Hard Knocks and everything, you've seen a lot of change and et cetera, et cetera. Do you see that, is there just some universal stuff about this music that no matter what generation or who comes in and what technology, some stuff is just always going to be.
Well, the only art forms, in my opinion, Sharon, that started, if I may call you Sharon.
Yes, sir.
The only art forms that, in my opinion, that developed in the United States are two. And they're sorely neglected. American Indian art and American classical music, which some people call jazz. I call American classical music. That's the only two art forms that put some culture in the United States. We have a great civilization, but very little culture. Culture is something else, and a civilization cannot last without culture. This music promotes itself. It's not seen. I don't hear Duke Ellington on a tube every day. I don't see Duke Ellington on a tube. I don't see Billy Strayhorn or Sidney Bechet. Sidney Bechet left New Orleans and went to France. He never came back. And we have many musicians have gone to other countries because of the conditions here. And the commercials, they can sell a commercial easier, a Toyota easier by programming Duke Ellington. They can the other junk that they use. It's chewing gum for the brain, what they have. And it's unfortunate that I have to go to Europe to see Duke Ellington on the television.
Wow.
Or to see Louis Armstrong.
Right.
Or to see Sarah Vaughan. We don't see Billie Holiday on the tube here. The kids don't know who she is.
No, they don't.
So it's very unfortunate. We have a cultural deficit in this country. And the only thing that promotes and keeps this music is the power of this music itself. This music was God-given.
Yes, sir.
And it's attracted people from all over the world. We manage a young lady called Hiromi, a Japanese pianist. And she soared like an eagle. She came to this country, studied at Berkeley, and we managed her ever since, along with the Yamaha Music Foundation in Japan, who's had her since she was 3 years old, 5 years old. So this music has attracted people from all over the world. Joe's Avenue. Joe's Avenue, who had the weather report. He came from Austria. He also was accompanist for Donna Washington. And played with Cannonball Alley. This music is so powerful, it promotes itself. It will always be here.
Definitely.
To answer your question a long way around, but that's the answer. It promotes itself. That's how just like American Indian art.
Yeah.
It promotes itself. And it's still neglected.
Yeah.
They don't talk about American Indian art.
No.
And what is it given to this country?
No. Not
just like the Aborigines in Australia. They have the little culture that is in Australia, the Aborigines put it there. The natives, they put it there. So here you have God-given to, when it's a God-given, nobody's going to take it away.
Right.
So in spite of our not seeing Billy Strayhorn, who was from my hometown, wrote Lush Life, all those wonderful, wrote Take the A-Train, Duke's signature song, and all the other wonderful, Louis Armstrong. Louis Armstrong was celebrated to a certain extent. He was in Hollywood and made movies and this and that. But still, you don't see Louis every day on television.
No.
You see a lot of junk. It has nothing to do with culture.
Right.
It has to do with another genre, which I'm not going to go into.
Right.
But this music that we call jazz, and I've captioned the phrase American classical music some years ago. I started calling it American classical music, and this term that I thought has resonated all over the world. People are picking it up. That's what it is. It's like they have European classical music. This is American classical music. Duke Ellington was a classicist, American classicist, like some others. And this is what I call it. In fact, I made a LP, made a recording, American Classical Music, in the Greater Music Hall in San Francisco some years ago. So I go on record as captioning this, starting this phrase, and a lot of people are using it now. I'm not offensive at the word jazz,
yeah,
but it doesn't really illustrate what we do. Mm-hmm. We cover a broad range of music, mm-hmm. and those who are successful in it, they have to know both areas of European classical mm-hmm. music and American classical music. I studied Mozart along with Duke Ellington. I studied Art Tatum along with Beethoven. Mm-hmm. I studied Ravel along with Louis Armstrong. Mm-hmm. And in Pittsburgh, my hometown, that also houses George Benson. George Benson's also in Pittsburgh. I can go through a litany, a whole list of mm-hmm. Art Blakey, Kenny mm-hmm. Clark, Ray Brown, a little tap dancer, Gene Kelly. All of us come from Pittsburgh. And we study, we don't separate the schools of music. In Pittsburgh, you have to study American classical music and European classical music. You have to study them both. Mm. So I was playing Franz Liszt when I was 10 years old. Mm. But I also was playing Duke Ellington when I was 10 years old, too. Mm. Because that's what we did in Pittsburgh. We studied both schools. Mm. And, you know, now it's much harder to launch a career, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely.
A career in music is much harder to launch, Sharon, than it was when I was coming up. It was difficult then, but it's more difficult now. You have no record companies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have no record stores here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Tower Records is the only record stores remaining in the country. They've all closed.
Yeah, we don't even have
now
one.
Now they're trying to get rid of CDs and go back to vinyl.
Right. Right.
And streaming right. and beaming and scheming, that's what you have. Downloading this, download. Come on. All this technology would be YouTube.
Right.
People coming in auditoriums with their cameras.
Right.
And they're all professional engineers and photographers. And before you know it, you're on YouTube and not getting a dime from it.
Exactly.
Biggest assault on intellectual property I've ever seen in my life.
Exactly.
That's only one. Lies at YouTube.
Yes.
Amazon. You know how many records I've had to take down from Amazon, my office, and my lawyers? Just beginning. 40-some records I took down.
What?
Pirates. All pirates.
What? So they were selling your stuff without your permission?
Without my permission, without the permission of the people who I recorded for. You know, I started with a company.
Yeah.
Chester House, Chuck Berry, Muddy Waters, Bo Diddley, and Ahmad Jamal.
Mm.
We made that company.
Mm.
Chess, Argo, and Cadet.
Mm.
Leonard Chess came from Poland with his shoes in his hand. And sold that company some years later for $52 million.
Mm-hmm.
And who made that company? Chuck Berry, Bo Diddley, Muddy Waters, and me.
Mm.
I had a million seller.
Mm.
And that's very unusual. The only people have that kind of in instrumental music, American classical music.
Right.
The Stevie Wonders, all these, they sell millions. But when you talk about instrumental, very few of us are able to sell a million records. I made that record at Persian, but not for me. And it still is imitated, plagiarized, copied.
Mm. Mm.
All these, that was a gift from the creator.
Mm. Wow.
Gift from the creator. Yeah, we have a few others. Herbie Hancock, Dave Brubeck, who's gone now. I knew Dave Brubeck when he was running around in a hearse, taking his family from job to job in a hearse. And Paul Desmond, Take Five, wrote, he didn't write, right? Dave had some big hits, but his biggest hit was Take Five. Paul Desmond, the saxophone player, wrote that. So there are a few of us that have sold a million copies of a certain record, but not too many. You can name them on two hands. Herbie, myself, Miles Davis, Dave Brubeck. And then I have to start thinking.
Yeah, yeah. Let me ask you a little bit more about something you just mentioned. When you said that the four of you all that founded that record label, the Chess, and it was sold for $52 million. Does that mean...
$52 million sometime later, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that the four of you became millionaires, or...
Well, maybe they did, not me. No. We had only record... We had contract, not interest in the company,
okay,
no.
Okay.
That was all Leonard Chess's. That belonged to him and his family.
Okay.
Not me. No, not me.
I was going to say...
We had royalties.
Okay.
You know, and we were well paid. I don't know about Bo Diddley. I know Chuck Berry.
Yeah.
I don't know if Chuck became a millionaire, but he became a millionaire because of Chuck Berry and his personality. You know,
yeah.
He taught the Beatles stuff.
Right, right.
In that movie he made, he was telling the Beatles what to do. Chuck Berry?
Yeah.
Even his dance across the stage imitated.
The duck walk, yeah.
Let alone his approach.
Yeah.
But Chuck Berry made that division. I made the so-called jazz division, and Bo Diddley and Muddy Waters. We made that. No, we didn't have any interest in the company, though.
Okay.
If we became millionaires, we had to do that on our own.
Okay. Do you wish that you would have been a part owner?
What's that?
Do you wish you would have, or just to do the performing piece, that you know you could have had like a stake in it, and what? Yeah, I know it was hard back then for black people to own anything. I get that. I know the history. But could you have, even with your influence, could the four of you have formed something like that?
That's a good question. And I've made enough money to build a restaurant in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I started my own record company when I moved to New York.
Mm.
But you know, Sharon, you have to stay in your own ballpark.
Wow.
Sometimes you hit a home run.
Mm-hmm.
I had no business opening up a restaurant with 43 employees
mm-hmm.
at my young, foolish age.
Mm-hmm.
I made my money playing piano. And that's what I do. And when I lost money and other things, I had to go. You always have to go back to your vine and fig tree.
Mm-hmm.
And what is my vine and fig tree? Performing at the piano.
Yeah.
So I've had my good experiences and my bad experiences, but there's no gain without pain.
That's true.
For most of us.
That's true.
Most of us have to have some pain before we learn anything. That's human nature.
That's true. That is absolutely
And
true.
A lot of people with millions that are broke, and marking, it's not money that makes you rich.
No.
It's common sense,
mm-hmm.
and that's not so common. Common sense is not so
mm-hmm.
common,
mm-hmm.
and that's not my expression. I learned that from my doctor's mother,
mm-hmm.
and my dentist's mother. He passed on. Dr. Thompson's mother
mm-hmm.
said to him, "Common sense is not so common." I knew that, and that's the truth.
At all.
So you know, I've had my share of good fortune,
yes,
and I also know bad fortune.
Mm.
I know both.
Wow.
And you make mistakes in this life, and you have to, you can't sit in the room and if I had done this, if I had done that. No,
mm-hmm.
you have to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's difficult
mm-hmm.
for a lot of people.
Mm.
They want to dwell on what coulda, like the song goes, coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
You can't do coulda, woulda, shoulda.
No.
You got to go for it.
Yes.
And at 90 years old, I've had the homes, I've had the businesses, I've had been all over the world. And the Creator leads, if the Creator leads me, and I hope it's from Him, with a chuckle, that's all it's worth sometimes, a chuckle. If you can chuckle about this life and not grieve about this life, you're very fortunate.
Mm.
Because the mortgages and the this and that and the cars and this and that, none of the stuff you're going to leave here with.
Sure.
All you're going to leave is with your good or bad deeds.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. You can put your diamond rings in the grave with you if you're a fool. All you're going to leave with your good and bad deeds.
Yeah. That's it right there.
That's all you leave this world with.
Mm.
So all these homes, don't get me wrong, it's nice to have a nice lifestyle.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Nice home, mm-hmm. nice car. But there are a lot of millionaires who are broke.
Yes, yes.
And a lot of poor people who are rich.
Yeah.
And because they have common sense.
Yeah, and a lot of rich people who are unhappy too.
Come on,
Ahmad.
there's a rich man, so-called rich man, right here, number 45.
Yeah.
Obama was number 44.
Yes, he was. Well, I don't know about how happy he is.
You
right
give him an example for our kids?
Yeah.
Come on.
I don't know how happy he is.
Come on.
He don't like
it. And it goes on and on and on.
Oh, my God.
It's that way in France when I was there. You had the yellow vests every weekend demonstrate Hong Kong. Look at Hong Kong. Have you ever seen such a thing?
Oh, my God. Nothing like it, man.
So this chaos is all over the world. You know why? Lack of morals and good ethics.
Yeah.
Without culture, this is what happens.
Right.
How to take care of your mother and father.
Yes, Lord.
How to take care of your neighbor or respect your neighbor. If not taking, you have to respect it. I'm not saying you have to take care of you, but respect your neighbor.
Yes.
How to respect another country?
Yeah.
Why are we at the world's at chaos now? Now
right.
You got a little girl, Greta Thunberg, whatever her name is, going all over the world talking to grown people about saving the planet for us children.
Lord.
She's only 15, 16 years old at most.
And she's smarter than the grown folk in the room.
And she's telling the grown people at the point of being in tears. You know, because of the climate alone, just the climate alone. Is an indication of lack of culture.
Mm-hmm.
When you're throwing up all these chemicals in the water and in the air because you only want to do one thing, make money.
Mm.
And in the end, you're going to lose everything.
Everything.
And there's no dollar bill that can keep you.
Nope, it's not doing it.
Criticism you hear?
Nope, not doing it.
Mm. In a certain way, and you leave.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so money doesn't, because you're a millionaire, in my opinion, doesn't say that you're rich.
Right.
I know a lot of poor millionaires.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Poor sin.
Mm. Wow. Well, and
just because you have money doesn't mean you're rich.
No, it does not, or happy, or feeling good.
But now you're talking. Or have peace. What's the ultimate goal? Peace of mind.
Yes, Lord. Money can't buy it, child.
When you can go to sleep with a peaceful mind, that's a great accomplishment.
Yeah. And you don't have to get up and get on Twitter all night long because you can go to bed.
Please. Twitter, squatter. You know how many people we have homeless in New York?
Oh, my God.
You know how many people are homeless in San Francisco? I just left San Francisco and just opened up the festival there.
It's about what?
We're sold
60,
out every 70, night.
60,000.
You know how many homeless people? It's so bad in San Francisco that they're boarding up the windows of some of the businesses to keep the homeless people from breaking in. This is supposed to be the richest company in the world?
Well, that stuff is out of order. Ahmad, everything is out of order. It's upside down. It's flinging crazy because we're not focusing on what we're supposed to focus on. We're spending too much time.
I know you have some homeless people in Nashville.
Oh, are you kidding me? All over the place. And they're all over the country. No, you're right. It's all over the United States, and that's what's shameful about
it. There's all kinds of money in the United States.
Oh, my God.
The wrong thing. We've had a war going on in Afghanistan.
It's pitiful.
For years and years and years, and you have a deficit.
Mm-hmm.
How could you be the richest if you have a deficit? Trillions of dollars in debt.
Yes.
I don't understand that.
Because
common sense is not so common.
At all. It's not common at all. Period. It's upside down.
So that's the way it is. So just because you're a millionaire, the point is, doesn't make you rich.
No.
You know a lot of poor rich people, poor millionaires, at least I do.
Yeah.
A lot of poor millionaires that don't have, you wouldn't ever want to be in their company.
Mm-mm. No.
You don't really want to be in their company.
And they don't want to help anybody either.
You have a guy they just, or somebody else choked him to death or hung him. And he was in Manhattan Correctional Institution. I forget his name now. Seltzer or something. He committed suicide. He owned a 727 jet. Had owned everywhere.
Yeah,
New York.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. He just said he committed suicide.
Can't call his name.
Yeah, and I know everybody. He's been in the news for weeks and weeks. Yeah, we know.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, he was a millionaire. What happened?
Ill-gotten gains.
That's a classic example. He had a house in New York cost millions. That's kind of house he had in New York. They say he was playing a game with the young ladies. Put him in a prostitution ring, and on and on. And they're coming out of the woodwork now, ladies. Antonio Brown, I think, NHL dismissed him from the NFL, from national football. I don't know the history. But just because you have money, whether you're a sports figure or the head of state, doesn't mean that you're rich.
Not even close.
No. Am I right or wrong?
Not even close.
So this music has put the little culture we have, this music, what they call jazz, I call American classic music, and America India, the only culture that developed in this country, both of which are not promoted. But what happened, you have people like Wynton Marsalis, who built jazz at Lincoln Center.
Oh, yes.
You have Randall Klein, who built that wonderful place that I worked in, a hall.
Yeah.
That houses this in San Francisco. And it was Clint Eastwood, myself, and the only African-American mayor of San Francisco. I forget his name. We raised $1 million for that night. Clint Eastwood was a big fan of mine. And it was I was an honoree. They have an honoree in San Francisco that every year they ask me to come and help raise money and accept the being an honoree. So I did. And before the building was built, we raised $1 million that night for that building. I just opened for the 2019 the program. The program for 2019.
Oh, okay.
The festival for 2019. They just opened the festival for 2019 in San Francisco. That's what I did. Like I said before, we sold out every night.
Wow. Raised $1 million, huh?
Huh?
You said you guys raised $1 million?
We raised $1 million. Myself, and Clint Eastwood, and the only African mayor of San Francisco, Woody...
I don't know.
I forget his last name. Anyway, the power of this music. Causes people to, like Wynton Marsalis, to build edifices.
Yeah.
Dedicated to build buildings dedicated to this music.
Yeah.
But our youngsters are not exposed to this music like they should be. They don't know anything about Billie Holiday. You ask the youngsters what they know about Billie Holiday.
You talking about Willie Brown when he was the mayor?
Willie Brown, thank you very much.
Oh,
Willie
okay.
Brown.
Yeah, that was
Willie Brown, Clint Eastwood, and myself.
Okay. Wow.
I have a picture of all three of us together that night. Raised $1 million that night for the building of that wonderful hall they have in
San Francisco. Okay.
Housing this music.
Yeah.
And they're doing very well. This music it promotes itself. Like I say, I have to go to Europe to see Duke Ellington on television.
Right. Well, coming up in Nashville, we don't have to go anywhere but to the Scrimmerhorn Symphony Center on the 18th of October to see this great man of
Well, you said American classical music. And
that's what I coined that phrase some years ago, Sharon. And it's being voiced all over the world now.
It is.
It's catching on. Well, that's what it is.
At last.
Yeah, because what happens when you say you're a jazz artist, a lot of people say, oh, I play a European class. I hate that. That's an insult.
Right.
Oh, like, I'm better than, come on. This is American classical music that has influenced the entire world.
Yeah, yeah.
Everywhere. You have Chucho Valdez now coming out of Cuba. The young lady we managed now, Mariali Pacheco, she lives in Germany. She comes out of Cuba.
Yeah.
So this music has influenced everywhere on earth. Africa. They want me to come to Senegal.
Yeah.
Now to be head of a festival there.
Yeah.
Next year, and they're inviting people like Alicia Keys and others.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going, but the fact is, this music has influenced the entire world.
Well, Ahmad, do you think that people don't see it as that way because they haven't been taught that? You know, because if they're taking music classes or getting a degree in music, they're always taught to look at the European model as always better than everybody else's. you hear me laughing, yo? I'm just saying.
You said it.
So is it because that is taught behavior or a taught mindset that somebody needs to correct that?
It's ignorance.
Okay.
Totally. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Grammys
mm-hmm.
that devote some time to our music. I've got a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Grammys in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
But their focus is not on American jazz.
Mm.
It doesn't get the glamour or the attention that the other artists
mm-hmm.
that they have, the personality that they nominate Grammys for. You got a different group of people.
Wow.
So it's ignorance.
Okay. All right, just call it what
it
is.
That's what it is. That's what you call ignorance. Ignorance is a terrible thing.
It really is. Oh, Lord.
It's a terrible
thing. It really is, y'all.
Ignorance is not bliss.
No.
They have that expression, but I have the right to accept it. Now, ignorance is not bliss.
No. Uh-uh.
If you don't know the quality of fire, put your hand on. That's ignorance. It puts your hand in the fire. Is that bliss? When you get burned by another flame on the stove? Is that bliss?
Hell no.
That's
burnt.
So ignorance is not bliss. And that what we have here is a lack of as I said before, a lack of culture. You have mm-hmm. great civilization. What civilization, Shane? When you have learned how to move goods from one place to the other, whether it's by satellite or horse and buggy, that's what constitutes civilization.
Yeah.
But culture is how to take care of your parents.
Yeah, that's what's up, yeah.
How to take care of your children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look at our kids today.
Wow. Yeah, I know.
The lack of culture. And what happens? When you don't have culture commensurate to civilization, know what happened? You're gonna blow civilization. You're gonna lose it.
Yeah,
guaranteed. You're gonna lose it.
Well, every generation,
you're gonna lose it, Sharon. If you don't have culture that's commensurate to your civilization,
yeah.
Even what's this country? It's only a few years old,
right.
400 or 500 years old at most. And you have still an institution like Angola,
mm-hmm.
that are confining men to solitary confinement. There's a gentleman just wrote a book. I don't know if you've seen it. Albert Woodstock.
Okay.
He just wrote a book. He was incarcerated 42 years
mm-hmm.
in Angola. Hmm. That's civilization? And that's culture?
Mm-hmm.
Solitaire. His name is Albert Woodfox.
Okay.
Albert Woodfox. He was in solitary confinement. The the man was in solitary confinement for 42 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mandela was 27 years.
Mm.
But he was 42. He was. He stayed. He had the longest run.
Wow.
And he's still living.
Wow. Wow.
This is lack of culture. And not only that, Angola prison, and we have the Mardi Gras every year,
which
shouldn't even be celebrated unless they get rid of Angola. Angola, the first slave that landed in New Orleans was from Angola. It was a woman. First slave landed in New Orleans from Angola. They named that prison Angola, and it's still there.
Mm.
This is a lack of culture.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens when you don't have this is a little country. It's only four. China is not four. It's thousands of years old. Egypt, thousand years old.
Mm.
Sudan, not. This is a baby compared to that.
Right, right. And Louisiana.
And they're about to blow it. Without culture, you're not going to last.
Mm.
And this music is so powerful. It promotes itself.
Yeah. It does.
This is usually not promoted, Sharon.
Now, say that
it's
again.
It's not promoted.
No, but you know what? I got to tell you now. It is here.
You know something?
Yeah, it is
God
here.
God put it here, and when God puts something here, no one can
put us under.
Remove it.
No.
Or deny it.
And so, Ahmad, we, as I mentioned at the very beginning, we're still 46 years in here at this station. University is 153 years old. So we're still doing it. We're still doing it. We're still standing. And,
that's great.
And
you know why?
Why is that?
Somebody recognizes the culture. Someone that had culture.
Yes, sir.
I don't know who started Fisk. I'm not familiar with its origins, but the fact is, I know of Fisk. It's a historical name.
That's where the slaves' children were.
Uh huh.
Oh yeah.
See,
well,
here we go.
We got history, honey.
Here we go. See, here we go again.
The slave masters and the slave. That's what the institution's history is. This is the real deal. You know, slave feet were here, and you
now,
know.
Now, if you want of people to be successful, just suppress them and see what happens. See what happens.
Mm.
So Fisk is a result of suppression.
Yes, it is, Lord.
See what happens. It's been there 46 years, right?
153.
Why?
The university.
How many years?
The university is 153 years old.
Okay.
But the
on.
Radio station is 46 years old.
Why?
Because the college students now, our station. Let me ask you this: do you?
Your station is 46.
Yes. Do you remember the Bell Broadcasting family in Detroit?
What's the name?
The Bell Broadcasting. It was a black company, radio.
I think I vaguely remember that.
Okay. Well, they were a historic black radio station back when we couldn't have licenses. The grandson of that family is who really was the starter of this radio station. So, yeah, and that's in Detroit. So we're kind of, to me, like legacy and radio royalty legacy coming from, you know, the grandson. Because he would go back to Grandma and Grandpa's house and businesses in Detroit.
In Detroit.
And see how they did it. And then come down here and the children, you know, because we're FCC licensed and stuff, and to see how, you know, it's professionally done. And that's the model they used to kind of sort of do the college radio station. And, you know, the station is still standing, bless the Lord, after all these years. And I'm just, you know, and doing this history of what we've done and all that kind of stuff and what the station has done. Then it's important for people to know, because if we don't tell it, who's going to tell it? I don't need somebody else to come in here and tell this. I work here. I'm going to tell it. And I love my business like you love yours. So we're going to do all we can to wave the banner high for our music, okay?
That's great. You know, it's so important that we educate.
Yes, sir.
And like I don't know, right now, you know, we have all this great technology, Sharon.
Yeah.
It's going every day. There's a new phone or a new computer. New this. I'm speaking figuratively and literally.
Yes.
But the morals are going down, down, down. And if you don't have technology, is great. But if you don't have ethics commensurate,
that's true. It doesn't matter.
Technology
doesn't mean
right
anything.
Now, you know, all your institutions are being hacked.
Yes.
Hacked.
Yeah.
You gotta have passwords galore.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
You ever hear passwords?
Yeah. I mean, it's a bunch of them you gotta have. Crazy.
Hospitals, ransomware, have to give back thousands to get their records back.
Mm-hmm.
They call that ransomware now. Yeah. And it goes on and
on.
I don't mean to go into a whole long discourse, but the fact is, unless you have culture commensurate to the technology, you're going to lose
everything. You will. Now, Ahmad, I hate to do this because I got to go. And, you know, you have,
you got to go and enjoy your birthday and get off the phone with this man.
But you know.
Get off the phone with AJ.
No.
Sure, you enjoy your day. It's been a real distinct pleasure. I wish you the best. And 100 more.
Oh, definitely. And you don't understand, this has been the height of my life to listen to you, because you have just put so much knowledge into the atmosphere. You have blessed us beyond measure. So, I mean, I just am totally grateful for this opportunity. I really, really am, and look forward to seeing you in Nashville on October 18th.
You opened me up, and what a treat. And I don't know if you wish you hadn't opened me up. Now I got to get off this phone, Sharon. We love you.
Love you too.
Stay well, and enjoy your day.
Thank you so much.
Okay, all right.
Stay tuned. There's more 411 Show coming up.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
There's a place to share the joy of your team winning it all, and a place to share a laugh about skiing and taking a fall. There's a place to share photos of pets or singing in the choir or the time you ate a pepper and your mouth was on fire. But we could all be better at sharing how we're feeling inside. 76% of employees have struggled with at least one issue that affected their mental health. When you share, you're not alone. Ask about your company's emotional health benefits. Visit heart.org/sharing. Brought to you by the American Heart Association.
Support for WFSK comes from the Center for Research on Men's Health at Vanderbilt University. Now recruiting African American men ages 35 to 54 for a weight loss program called TaylorMade. Solutions for your health. TaylorMade was designed by, with, and for African American men in Nashville to reach and maintain a healthy weight. Reaching and maintaining a healthy weight is one of the best ways for men to reduce their risk for heart disease, diabetes, and some cancers, and to have more energy to do things they care about. For more information, please email the TaylorMade team at taylormade@vanderbilt.edu or dial pound 250 and use the keyword TaylorMade.